said
what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determine once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry.
Sterling, can I just share something super exciting?
Yeah.
It is a product. I feel like I might be overselling it, but it's something I love. So it's exciting to
okay.
me. You know what?
Well, commercial break right at the top of the hour.
Well, I just want to say, well, you know what? When I love a product, I just want to share it with a listener audience so they can enjoy it as well.
Sure.
You're just like, okay, whatever. I was on my Delta flight to Orlando. And you know when the flight attendant comes around, they're like, oh, what would you like to drink? And what would you like to have as a snack? And they gave me options for a snack. Well, on this particular day, I was feeling zesty.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I will take a granola bar.
I like how you think zesty is a granola bar.
True. But I was just like...
Zesty, I think, is like a spicy chip.
Well, they had a spicy chip, but I was just like...
And you said that's not zesty enough.
I'm saying zesty because that's the obvious choice.
The granola bar, you're like, that's counterculture.
So I was like, I'll take that granola bar. Well, son of a bitch, if that thing wasn't delicious.
Really?
I am telling you. Okay, so when I think granola bar, I think dry, crusty, like Nature Valley. So this was soft and moist, okay? And it was delicious. It was, right. Okay, so I have it here. It is.
It's like that's a classic kind of granola bar, soft and moist.
White chocolate macadamia. Guys, I'm telling you, you have not had a bar like this, okay? And the best part was when I ate it, I was like, this is really good. And on the back, it had a coupon. I love coupons. Delta 25. So I could order 25% off these granola bars. So I ordered two boxes. It's really good. I just had one.
Wow, you might be the first in-flight passenger ever to do that.
They actually, hold on, let me see. So I wrote a product review.
Oh, you wrote a product review even.
Well, they sent me, okay, when I
Blair,
love
what's
something.
What's going on with you?
I want to support it. Why are you looking at me like that? You're making me feel
well,
weird.
I worry for my friend. She's like, what's going on with you, buddy?
Well, my friends were making fun of me because they're like, you will literally buy anything, which is true. Because every time I'm on Instagram, I'm like, ooh, that looks like a soft blanket. I like to be cozy. I'm buying them. So I'm an easy target.
Not to spoil your life, but top of the episode, Blair's really busy at work right now.
Yeah.
He's just been really busy in life. And so I just can't even imagine to have the capacity to write a review. I mean, literally the amount of times I get messages when I do like an Airbnb and they're like, please, please write a review. And I'm like, the thought of having to log in somewhere.
But I'm supporting a small business. I'm assuming they're small.
Oh, you think? I'm so sorry.
Well,
you
it's
think.
Just Kate's Real Food.
Kate's?
It's not Kate's company. You know, it's just Kate in her kitchen
you think
making
Kate's
granola
Real
bars.
Food has probably an amazing deal with an airline company.
No, here's what I'm
you
thinking.
You think she's in her home kitchen making
I think she's in her home
herself.
Kitchen in Missouri.
And even though there's, what, thousands of flights every single day.
And her brother-in-law
her
is a pilot for Delta. And he was like, uh-huh. Kate, you got to get these bars on the flight. I know a guy. And she's like,
her
I
brother-in-law?
Don't know. I just do it for, yeah, they're close. They have a close family. It's Missouri.
So the pilot is, the pilot's, of course, a male.
Okay. I'm helping Kate, okay? That's pro-woman, okay? She is a small businesswoman. So, Kate, I love you.
I love you, Kate. Well, okay, Blair.
Well, what's going on with you? What did you review this week?
Ooh, that's a good question. What did I review this week? I guess nothing.
So
let's
what's wrong
see.
With
okay.
you that you're not willing to put your opinion out there?
I guess I'm a bad person.
Yeah, so that's the crux of this conversation. You are bad.
The last night I went to the mountains with my friends, and we kind of do like a little post-work happy hour. We bring our chairs up. We bring a little charcuterie board. We have a little beer. We put our chairs on the side of literally this mountain road and just watch the sunset. And it's very fun. Unfortunately, we had company. Sometimes you're a girl on a mountain.
Right.
Nighttime. Well, dusk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. True crime.
No cell phone service.
Right.
No cell phone service. And I have a dear friend. She knows who she is. Okay. Mm-hmm. She is a friendly girl. She's a friendly girl. And she's always trying to either make friends or set somebody up with us, yeah. which is amazing. But sometimes you actually don't want her to flag down strangers on a mountain as a woman in the dusk. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
these cars are going past us, and we're like at this area of the mountain where like the road had closed. So it was like a lot of cars coming, realized the road is closed and turning around. But that's like right where we were sitting. And again, right. There's no one else nearby. Okay. Right. And every car. And there's a lot of drag racing going on this mountain. It's very scary.
Like actual drag racing or a group of gays watching reality TV?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. On the mountain with no cell phone service, there's a bunch of gays watching reality TV.
There is cars. Technology,
it's cars.
Man.
It's scary man okay. in cars.
Racing. I just need clarification. There might be a gay out there who's confused.
We're sitting on the side of the mountain and like these cars will come up and my friend, she'll look, make eye contact and be like, they'd be like, hey, that looks like, you know, people are turn around, they're like, that looks like a nice spot, girls. I'm like, don't engage. My friend's like, it is a nice spot. Like, she's literally like, yoo-hoo. I'm like, could we not?
I am literally that friend.
On the side of a mountain. You'll never believe this. We're high up in these mountains. There's a man trail running, mm-mm. Nighttime. I mean, again, fairly night. Yep. He's like, what you guys doing over there? I'm like, don't engage. Why is this strange man running up a mountain, mm-hmm. you know? She's like, oh. Like, happy I asked. Anyways, it's
you
just
should have piped in and be like, we're just cleaning our guns.
Okay, speaking
of murder.
Yeah.
You know who's murdering it right now? Is our guest today.
Absolutely. I've been such a fan of his. I feel like I've seen him perform for a while. He's on so many shows in New York right now, so be sure to check him out. Please welcome the hilarious Zach Schiffman.
Okay, Zach, thank you so much for doing our podcast. We're happy to have you.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I have something on the top of the episode that I'd love to discuss with you.
That sounds very scary.
It's scary. No. And unfortunately, Blair, you're going to have to kind of melt into a little puddle. But Zach, the other week, I was scrolling on the app Twitter, and I came across a thread.
Can I interject? It's now called X. So you came across an XEX.
Right, an X.
Okay.
You X and XXXX, yeah.
So I just want to know, and I'm so sorry, Blair. What are your opinions, one, on what's going on with Taylor Swift right now?
Oh, God.
Because your kind of deliberation on what kind of is going on with her and her career. And like,
I'll see y'all in 40 minutes.
Yeah, Blair's going to pop on out. Anyways, I would just love to know kind of, do you think this Travis Kelce, sort of, I think one of the most important issues of today is this Travis Kelce a PR stunt or no?
It's like 100% certainly a PR stunt, but so is like everything she's ever done. Like, and I always say that like the number one thing Taylor Swift did to prove that Joe Allen was real to all of us is the fact that we A, never saw him, and B, they broke up. If he was just out of convenience, they would have gotten married and it would have been together forever because it worked perfectly for both of them. But like, I do think that it was not PR. Like, maybe it was, I mean, any relationship with celebrities is, like, arranged by PR. It's, like, they don't just meet. Like, they're people put them together. But, and, like, there are times when they fall in love. Like, I think Beyonce and Jay-Z were, like, put together, and then I think it worked out.
Ooh.
Really?
See, that's the love story I aspire to.
Like, it's, like, it was, like, wait, you think these people just, like, have a drink at the Grammys? No, like, they're people set them up.
You're really hurting me right now. You're taking away the magic of Hollywood.
It's, like, we use dating apps. They have publicists. You know, same thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah, Travis is certainly real. Travis, like,
physically, he's physically real.
Yeah, it's certainly PR is what I mean. But I think that Taylor is doing the Super Bowl in 2025. I'm like so dead set on this theory. She couldn't do it until last year because the lead sponsor of the halftime show is Pepsi and she loves Diet Coke and they're one of her main sponsors. And so last year was her first year. She could have been eligible, but A, it was probably too early in the Apple Music contract because Apple Music is not a sponsor. B, she was like preparing for the Eras Tour. She can't do it this coming year because she's going to be touring for the Eras Tour. So that's why Usher is doing it. And everyone's going to love Usher, Burn, whatever. But then she will certainly do it in 2025. I'm like 1,000% sure. And I did more research to write this article that's going to come out for it. But Travis is like, I think she's like, it all started with the NFL thing. I didn't put this in the article, but like, she announced like the Midnight's music videos on Thursday Night Football, I think it was, whatever it was. Like, she has been planting the seeds of the NFL for a while. And people,
she also did that on Reputation. She was dropping songs. She dropped Are You Like Ready For It during an NFL game. I remember.
I feel like she's like been
like following along too long.
It's this thing where like, I just think that she like, people are like, why does she need that? I'm like, well, why does she need anything? You know, why does Taylor Swift need
so
any
true.
Of the stuff she does?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I was on vacation 2 weeks ago, and a friend of mine, she's a huge Taylor Swift fan, and we were talking about it. And she is like 90% positive that Taylor Swift is going to run for president. Thoughts?
No.
No.
I did.
You don't make that much money doing that.
Well, she's become very politically active. Money. And her fans are rabid, and they will
she's
do whatever she says.
She's not that politically active. She posts in like the least legible font about registering to vote like once a year.
Like, yeah, the tiniest font being like, hey.
And it's funny because, of course, she posts that in like the tiniest, like least legible font. And it, mm-hmm. of course, like 500 people register to vote when it happens. But like, but like, I think she did add those four tour dates at the end of next year. And like, one's Toronto, but then they're in Indiana, which is a purple state. You know, maybe has been more red in the past, but it has been a purple state. Louisiana, which is not a purple state, but like in New Orleans, like there are some purple seats in the house there. And then I think Florida, obviously. And the last dates are in Indiana. And I went completely galaxy brain. And I am actually certain of this. And I'm like marking, and I like would take bets on this. Okay, so this is going to be so galaxy brain. But the Indiana Senate race next year is wide open because the incumbent is running for governor. And so there's like, it's a wide open race. There were rumors that Pete Buttigieg was going to run in Michigan because that's where Chastain's from, and they own a house there. But he said he's not going to. But no big Democrats have declared for Indiana Senate yet, and it like would be a good move for Pete Buttigieg to be a senator. He needs to have some sort of real job at some point, because he's yet to have one. And I think that he's going to run for Senate in Indiana. He will win, especially after being in the cabinet and for being as what he is. And I think, and the week before the election, Taylor is going to be in Indianapolis. And I think, she of course loves gay guys. She had Troye Sivan on her tour before. I think she'll have Pete Buttigieg come out and endorse him on stage in Indianapolis the week before the election, and he'll win by a huge margin.
And you think she's already thought this through that ahead and like talked to Pete?
I think that like the ink is dry on the contract with Pete. I don't even think he has filed to run. But I think that when she agreed to play that stadium that weekend, she called Pete Buttigieg, or Tree Payne called Pete Buttigieg.
Wow, the ink is dry. Wow. So what is your theory, I guess, kind of to wrap up our Taylor discussion before Blair's? But this is crazy. I absolutely love this. What do you kind of think of the timeline is going to be for Travis Kelce? Do we think he's like making it to the holidays?
Yeah, I think.
How long do you think this is
going to
last?
Calvin Harris was 15 months. The other prevailing theory I have about Travis is like, this is also like her cosplaying 1989. Like she, like the squad, she's been like reliving 1989 recently in general. And so like Calvin Harris was her like post 1999 boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And so I think she was with Calvin for way too long. And Calvin like publicly said that Taylor was a beard, that they were like not, that they were like PR. There was that
whole Twitter thread. Really? He said that?
Have you ever seen the Twitter thread where he was like, I finally shaved my beard like a week after it was announced they broke up?
You know what? I forgot they dated.
I forgot about that.
For 15 months. And I think Travis is her Calvin, and I think she'll be with him for a while.
Okay. And do you think they're like intimate with each other, or is it just for show?
I think that when celebrities are in these PR relationships, I'm like, I'm sure they fuck. Like, why wouldn't they? Mm. You know, they have to hang out. I'm sure there are times that, like, I don't think Bradley Cooper has ever fucked any of the women that he's been associated with. But I think that, like,
even the one he had a baby with?
Wait, he had a baby?
And there's no way that woman carried that baby for real.
I need to read more news.
No. I'm sure you know plenty of real things. This is my brain. I can't do basic addition, but I know this stuff.
Okay, well, I have a question because actually you'll never believe this. Just this morning, hold on, let me pull up the email. I got an email just this morning, and it seems very scammy, but it's from somebody who wants to represent, I don't even know, something to do with PR. So do you think, I'm going to read you the email and say, should I respond and see if they will set me up in a PR relationship to help my career? Hmm. Do we think this is a real email? Can we discuss Sterling? Subject line. Basically, he just sent me his Wikipedia page.
Not a website?
Then he just said, you have time for a call.
You know what's always a big tell with those emails is if they type a word, space, comma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because he did have some facts about
What's me. His name? Can we dox him?
Yeah, I actually looked him up already and he seems scary. Michael Levine, publicist. He says, your name came up in my meeting. I mean, in a staff meeting this week. I'm like, a staff meeting of just you?
What does the email look like? Is there a lot of numbers?
It's huge type. I was like, this is such a fake email.
Wait, he was Michael Jackson's publicist.
There you go. Do
it. Like, this can't have been the real
guy. Hop on.
I feel like there would be nothing more humiliating than being in a PR relationship right now and like no one caring. You know, it's like you're too small for anybody to care. And then you'd have to be like really hanging out.
You just got to change your mindset. That's what my therapist says all the time.
And again, I think there's like a misunderstanding about PR relationships that like they are not all like, it's like, I think it's more like PR matchmaking. It's like for like Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner, I'm sure there was like I'm sure that like they were set up by publicists at some point And then obviously, like, there are times you can tell when it was real. And often you can tell it's most real when there is, like, actual drama surrounding the breakup. Like, that's when you're like, mm-hmm. oh, they got in too deep, because there should never be that much drama.
Okay, well, thank you so much for letting me go down my Taylor Swift rabbit hole. I just feel like I had a lot of questions.
No, of course.
We'll see kind of if she's still
But I think the big thing about him is, like, he's obsessed with being famous. Like, this is...
Yeah,
like,
that's like, why I'm like, why would she choose him? He's obviously
like the only, like, non-actors and musicians who host SNL are, like, Travis Kelce and Elon Musk. Like, you have to be a sociopath to
yeah.
do that.
Okay, well, we'll actually get absolutely onto the podcast. So, Zach, we have all our guests come on this podcast, and we like to ask them, in your kind of everyday life, okay, more like with close friends, family, do you feel like you tend to fall into a certain conflict style? Are you kind of like, let's jump into it, I want to address if something comes up with a friend, or are you kind of like, let's sit back, see if this is like water under the bridge? Do you have like a style you usually tend towards?
I think I have... I probably one of the most toxic styles you could possibly have, which is that I will not confront anyone. I will not talk. I will not do anything about it, but I will talk to everyone around them about it, hoping sure. that it gets back to them so that they adjust.
Now, how long have you been doing this style? Your whole life?
Yeah, I had like, I grew up with a lot of sisters. So I feel like that was often the way we did it. Was like, well, we're not going to fight with each other. We'll talk to each other about it. And then it'll resolve itself. But I think it's definitely not good. And I definitely am working on changing it. But I do this where like, I'm like, I'm not going to do anything about this interpersonally. Mm-hmm. But I will speak my piece about it to everyone except for the problem.
Now, Zach, what are you actively doing to change this and work on your style?
Going to therapy. My copay is so cheap right now. It's actually amazing. Oh. It's only $5. Isn't that kind of... It feels
what?
Wrong.
That's amazing.
It feels amazing. I'm like, that's wrong. But, so yeah, I'm trying to use a lot of statements that are like, I'm bad at this. This is hard for me to say this, so that I'm already, you know, making it clear that it's hard for me to directly confront.
Okay. Well, gotcha. Something we've done on the podcast before is a little role play. To put that in action, you know? We want to put this in action because we want you to work on your conflict style. So right now, I'm going to present a scenario. We love improv. Who doesn't love improv? Especially corporate improv.
Blair's really loving to do this recently.
Yeah, don't get me started on corporate improv. I love it.
Oh, God. It's only 10 a.m. We have to really...
So right now...
judge up. Okay.
Sterling asks to borrow your car. Then she wrecks it. And then blames you for the accident. What do you do?
Well, in that case, I would sue.
Okay. Even though she's your best friend?
Of course, there's money on the line.
Right.
There's money on the line.
I'm a litigious Jew.
He wouldn't come to me. He'd kind of go to all my girls around me.
And
if
my
thing.
I'd speak to my lawyer at that point.
Even if she came to you and was like, listen, I'm so sorry. I did this. I can't pay you any money.
Okay. I'll try it.
Yes. Totally. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, Zach. Are we ready for our scene?
Okay. Yes.
And scene. Zach, I know we live in New York City and you are my only friend with a car. And that's really cool. But unfortunately, you're now... Actually, I don't have any friends with a car because I totaled yours. I think it's kind of not quite my fault because you've known I actually only have my driver's permit. And I think it's just as a case of... an unfortunate accident. I hope we can move past.
This is really hard for me, but I think you need to leave New York City. Mm-hmm. I think you need to move away to a remote area where you can't be around anyone because you're a danger to yourself and others.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. What kind of area? Like
Montana. Somewhere beautiful. Sure. I'll allow
that. I have to
go
that far?
It can be pretty, but it can't be near me. Yeah, no, it can't be near me. It can't be within driving distance of me.
I think that seems fair.
Okay.
You guys, that was
that
so beautiful. You were direct.
And I offered her a beautiful life on a ranch. I mean, that's pretty
yeah,
amazing.
You said get
like,
away,
my conflict style is
but do it nice.
Get away. I actually love that. I think I'm going to start using that. I think if I'm like having an issue, I'm like, because I famously moved to Los Angeles and I actually left a lot of problems behind me.
Certainly.
They're still there. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing opportunity to really walk away from some situations that I don't have to deal with. And I kind of, I guess I ejected myself.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes space can be a really amazing thing when resolving conflict.
No, well, I mean, it's also, I joke with this, but like my boyfriend lives like 15 minutes from me.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, if we broke up, I would move to LA. It's that simple. there would literally be no other recourse.
Now, Zach, how did you feel in that moment when you were able to be direct? You didn't have to go to your sisters and say, do you know what this bitch did? You confronted it.
I will say that. When I'm in a conflict, my roommate says that when I'm in a conflict, mm-hmm. it's often like I'm running a nonprofit. Like I just like sit on the phone and call every single person in my phone book and tell mm-hmm. them about what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I assume that before we would have had this conversation, I would have had to do some counseling. Like okay. No matter what, I'm going to have to, you know, go through the Rolodex.
Always be prepared.
So we have a game we do on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. And these are going to be different situations in which you are going to decide if this is heaven for you, hell, or if you're kind of ambivalent purgatory. Now, you host a gorgeous little series about how long it can take to wait for certain restaurant tables at restaurants that are hard to get a reservation at. And so in this game today, we are going to be presenting you different scenarios in which you will also be waiting, just the idea of waiting. And you are going to be telling us if this is a heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Your first one. Your flight is delayed for 5 hours and you have to wait around JFK Airport, but they give you a $200 flight voucher. Heaven or hell?
Hell. Hell, 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 hell.
Okay.
I don't want, especially if it's an airline, I don't know, I recently gave up a JetBlue voucher from JFK.
Okay.
Because I was like, I had been delayed on like insane ways every single time I flew JFK and I kept getting new flights from the vouchers. And one day I was like, I can't put myself through this anymore. I can no longer like be in this cycle of getting a voucher. The only thing I will say about JFK though is it's the only airport seemingly in America that has an outdoor area. Have you guys ever been? It's amazing.
No.
There's like a little like outdoor lounge rooftop area at JFK and it is amazing. That is amazing.
Oh, who knew?
Well, wait, do you have to be a certain member to get into the lounge?
No, it's just like because I guess JFK is technically dog friendly, but also that's the thing is JFK is fucking disgusting. Both times I've been JFK recently, I guess because it's like known as a dog friendly airport, I didn't know this, but they have this outdoor area where you can take dogs, but there's dog shit all over the airport. And I watched a woman let her little Frenchie shit in the hallway of JFK and then not clean it up. And I went, your plane's going to crash.
Out loud or to yourself?
No, to myself.
Now, would your answer change vastly if we changed the airport to LaGuardia or Newark?
LaGuardia is so gorgeous, maybe, honestly.
The one time I had an issue with an airline, the voucher they gave me was for $5.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Okay, next one. You're on the lineup of a big show at the Bell House, but you're scheduled to perform last.
I'm so polite. I mean, I don't mind going last, but I feel like people do often put me first because I'm like loud and energetic, but I'm fine going last. But I will say I'm so polite that like if I knew I was last, like if most comedians, if they know they're last, they're like, they're going to show up late. They're going to show up an hour late to the show. Mm-hmm. It is like against everything I believe in to like not go to the show that you were booked on. It is so hard for me to like leave. If I'm first, I'm often first on shows because like it just makes sense. And I'm like, I don't mind going first. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it takes everything my being if I have to leave. Like I like end up messaging them like 5 days early being like, I'm so sorry, just letting you know I'm going to leave. Or if I leave early being like, send them an insane apology. No one ever cares. If people leave my shows early, I don't care. Mm-hmm. People get to my show late, I don't care. But something in my brain is like, I would never miss the show. I have to sit there even if it's a 2-hour show. This literally happened to me at the Bell House where I was on a show. How do I phrase this? I was on a show. I was early in the lineup. And then this girl said she was going to do, I think it was half an hour, and she did like 90 minutes of material. The audience was
30 minutes to 90.
I'm not making any value judgments on this because I like the girl, but I remember I got so drunk, and that's okay.
Yeah,
but I was like, I had been there forever. I wasn't gonna leave, and they were like, so many drinking tickets. I left the show, and I was like, I'm blacked out.
At least and you weren't on after her in a block.
No, that's exactly. But I was like, I'm not going to leave. And I normally don't like drink that much at shows, especially if they're like I'm just like, well, whatever. I'll take the one drink ticket, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this show, she was on forever. I had no idea how drunk I got. She got the stage and I was sloshed.
I mean, did she have a prepared set or was she just riffing and just kept going?
She walked off and she had no idea she'd gone that long.
I feel like she had to know on some level.
That is impressive. Maybe
it was 90 is exaggerating. It was probably like 70 minutes. It was probably
but still, 70. It's kind of giving full blown movie.
It was a lot. Yeah, that's a Hallmark movie. Yeah, exactly.
When I've done 5 minutes, I'm like, I feel like I was up there for 20.
Yeah.
Perspective, I guess. Okay, you're on hold for an hour waiting to talk to your health insurance. But the hold music is amazing and you discover some new songs. Heaven or hell?
That is... I am really good at customer service. Like, I'm really good at calling people on the phone and getting what I want.
Okay.
Because that's also, like, it's, like, it's a skill that my mom is so good at, but she's, like, sometimes a little too mean. So I've learned to be, like, you have to be so sweet until the moment when you need to have a little bit of sour.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's, like, in theory, that's hell, but it's, like, the music is good. And I, like, 9 times out of 10, I, like, know I'm going to get what I want in those situations. This is a crazy thing that's happened to me many times in my life, and especially when I used to work in TV and I had to, like, talk on the phone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my voice is that feminine. It's gay, but it's not that feminine. I don't think it's that high either. But I would get misgendered on the phone. People would call me ma'am, which, like, I'm a cis man. I guess my phone, yeah. And I was like, okay, whatever. But I would always use that to get a discount, and I would save it for, like, 20 minutes in, because I would be, like, on the phone, like, trying to get, you know, whatever, and I worked in production and TV, and I would, like, be on the phone trying to get, like, a refund for something or whatever, and I would wait until, like, I was 20 minutes into the conflict, and I would go, and by the way, you've been misgendering me. I take huge offense to that. And then they would, like, get all flustered, and they would give me a discount.
Wow. Okay, wow. So that's happened to
and
me.
And I do that all the time.
That's happened to me, but I'm just too, I guess it's my Southern, raised by a preacher, being damaged.
I highly recommend it. You can get $20 off literally anywhere whenever they do it. If they do it, that's not to me like an offensive dog whistle. To me, that's ding, 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 discount. That's Prime Day.
Well, and it's so interesting because your name is Zach, so that should have been the dead giveaway with Blair. I mean, it could be, you know, either.
Well, I have a stand-up joke about, this is like a true story, but it's a stand-up thing, that in my stand-up where had a consultation, speaking of therapy, I had a consultation with a new therapist during COVID, and he was like this terrible therapist. I'm not gonna tell the whole story, but at the end of the session, he's like, I mentioned my ex-boyfriend, and I was, and he goes, and he like pauses for a while, and he's like, I've never had a female Zachary before, and I was like, I'm a gay man. And he was like, and I was also like, you're a doctor. You can look at my chart. Like, it's, you should know my gender. This is literally, you're a doctor.
Yeah,
that's bad. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm so sensitive with pronouns. I was like, this is your fault.
Yeah, I'll just play along. I'll just create a whole backstory. Like, oh, my kids are in the other room. They're so loud.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, next one. Your friend texts you, I have something I need to get off my chest. Would you be free to talk next week? You now have a week to prepare, but also a week to wonder what it is.
Oh my God, no, that's hell. Oh my God, I would say no. Call me right now. I'm like, if you make me wait, I will kill you. Then you'll never get to tell me.
So that would be hell. Hell. That's hell.
That is like 11 out of 10 hell. If you raise the confidence to send the text, because the thing is, I'm someone who, I wouldn't even send the text, I want to talk about something. There, I'm being the coward, but that's fine. I'm not ruining their life. If you have enough confidence to say to me, I want to talk about something, then you have the confidence to tell me what it is right now.
Okay, next one. You're running late on your way to work when your subway train stops in between stations. The conductor says, it may be a while. You'll now be...
Hell.
So you're already running late, then you kind of have an excuse.
When the train is held, I cry. It is that simple. I've lived in New York for 5-6 years. When the train is held, that is, to me, domestic terrorism. That is like, when the train is held, I cry immediately. That is hell.
The only time I would allow that, if it's dead in summertime and the air conditioner is full blast in there, then I'm like, fine, I need this air because my air conditioner at my apartment is not great.
I've really changed, like, in the past year, like, I've got my anxiety about getting stuck on trains and the way that it really, like, makes me feel so claustrophobic. I can't afford to Uber, and I also hate getting stuck in traffic anyway, that I'm like, I have been on this train, no pun intended, of like, the only way to control where you go in the city is to bike. And like, I didn't used to take city bikes or e-bikes because I have my own bike and I like biking. But once I started taking the city e-bikes, I was like, oh, if I have gloves and a hat, I can go anywhere. Like, as long as it is not pouring, like, I have city bikes in 20 degree weather and called it a fucking day, because it's like, it's the only way to have any control over what time you get somewhere.
Are you ever afraid of getting hit by a car or hitting someone who just randomly walks out into the road?
I should.
Okay. Well, think about
it. Yeah, but no.
Think about it on your next bike ride.
Okay. This can be a deep cut. Okay. You're waiting for your boba at Jamba Juice when someone approaches you and compliments you on your viral video and asks for a picture. After taking the photo, you both then have to wait 15 minutes side by side for your drinks to be ready.
Oh my God. That is hell. Oh my God. It is so crazy. They like it's funny because
yeah, do you want to fill in? I feel like Blair, can you kind of give a quick little spiel about your history with Jamba?
So basically about a little over a year ago, I was in LA and like I love like phrases and I love like little things that make me laugh. Mm-hmm. And I saw that the sign at Jamba Juice was they had boba now and it said sip surprise boba my Jamba. And it just made me laugh because I was like, that means nothing. That is so funny. That means nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
That is just an empty phrase. It means nothing. And I like took a video of me reading it to myself. And in the back, you can hear my friend being like, I'm walking away. Because like, I do this all the time. Yeah. And I like, it made me laugh. I put it on my Instagram story. People responded. I was like, I'll put this on TikTok because everyone's loving it. And then it goes like insanely viral in a way that like nothing I've ever done for comedy has gone viral. Mm-hmm. And then like it became this thing where like people in my were coming up to me being like sip surprise but my job and I'm like thanks I didn't write it I just said it. And then I went back to LA and I was like, well, I had to film a follow up obviously, and they didn't have it anymore, and that video went even more viral, and so now even more people are like, I love sip surprise, I say it all the time, and I'm like, thank you, I didn't come up with that.
Yeah.
And I like am always, and then I'm always in my head wanting to say to people like, "Have you considered looking up something I've written? Yeah. Like something I've done? Like I didn't do this. It's like right. I just was like, I'm a keen observer, I guess. But then I like it has gotten so crazy where people are like, "I love you," and I'm like, "You don't. That's not me. That's Jamba Juice."
Zach. You've invited you here, and I think you know why. You have potentially a story today that you're going to tell us that is hard to tell if you're in the right or the wrong, that Blair and I will help you decide if you exhibited good or bad behavior. So whenever you're ready, feel free to launch in.
Okay, so this story is vintage, but it's from when I was like, I was maybe like, I think I was in like an early middle school at the time, maybe like sixth or seventh grade. Yeah, I was in middle school. And when I was a kid, I like loved Blackberries, like the phones. Like I loved my dad's Blackberry. I loved it. I was obsessed. And I would like go to his office and I would play with all of his employees' phones. And then I think when I was in like, I don't even think I had my own personal Blackberry at the time. Like I think I had a different phone that had a keyboard, but I was like obsessed with like phones with keyboards. Like I loved gadgets, but I also think I loved like the keys, like everything about it, whatever. And when I was a kid, I don't remember exactly how it started. But basically, like, I had this BlackBerry, and it had, like, a scratch on it or something, and I picked at the scratch and picked at the scratch until it picked at the scratch until, or this, I think it was a Motorola phone, but I picked it, like, this, like, scratch in it until the screen broke, and then I took the phone to Verizon, and they were like, oh, and I was, like, a cute kid who, like, they knew, because my dad would, like, my parents would, like, take me to the Verizon store if they, and, like, I would play with the phones. Like, that was, like, a thing I loved doing as a kid. Uh-huh. And completely normal and reasonable.
They're like, this kid's here all the time.
They all loved me. They adored me. And I would go, I also had relationships with different Verizons in the area. Like there were a handful of Verizons, mm-hmm. and I would go to different ones. They knew me best at one of them, but there were others. Okay. They replaced my phone on the spot. And there was like a ding, ding, ding in my head. Uh-huh. And I don't remember exactly how one thing led to another. My dad is the accomplice in the situation, of course. I'm sure my dad's always like trying to like get a business idea. And so it started being that my dad and I were like running an illegal ring where we were buying broken phones on eBay, transferring the service to my phone, changing. But I will say, like, my dad was my accomplice, but it was me. This was my scheme. Okay.
You were the brainchild.
Yeah. But like, I think my dad like thought it was funny. And I was like, yeah. I would buy broken phones on eBay, change my service to them, and then I would go to a different Verizon stores in the area and be this like cute, smart kid and be like, my phone is broken. Can you give me, like, replace it? And they would give me a new phone, and then I would change the service back to my phone, and then I would sell the new phone on eBay for a profit.
Wow.
And I think all in all, I ended up making like a grand as like a kid.
Okay.
And now they've obviously changed like how easy it is to get a new phone. And now like, you know, I'm an adult. I can't get away with this. But in my head, I'm like, in one way, like, what an amazing way of taking down the man. You know, like, as a kid, you know, being so ingenious, like, making money for myself. In other ways, I'm like, well, BlackBerry is not doing well business-wise. Mm. Am I behind this? You know, did they change the policy? Did anyone get in trouble for, like, giving a kid a new phone? But I'm like, there's no way they were tracking this. Like, I just stopped doing it because I think I just stopped. Like, I never got... Right. Or I think at some point someone said no, that your phone, like this phone isn't broken enough. And I was like then in the hole for like having bought a broken phone. I probably did it like 5 or 6 times.
The thing that's so interesting to me is how many times you got away with it. Because I would think the company would have like records of how many times you're coming in.
But it's like it's like a charming, smart 11-year-old is like, I need a new phone, you know.
No, I am also surprised the store is like okay with just doing business with the
11-year-old. Right. I know.
But maybe. It's like crazy. Like, I feel like if I went in at 11, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm on this phone. Like, I don't know. I feel like they'd be like, get your parent.
My dad was always with me. My dad was like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, your dad was with you.
Yeah, okay. My dad fully knew.
Yeah, he was an accomplice.
And I think my dad thought I was like a genius. And I was like, look how smart my son is for like concocting this scheme.
When you came up with this scheme and you went to your father and you're like, I got a plan. I need to see if you're on board. What was his initial response?
Let's go. Like, really? Get in the car. Like, get in the car, doors locked. Like, yeah, my dad, like my dad's always trying to come up with a new business idea all the time. The other day, my dad thought he invented, like, those, like, stick-on wallets on the back of phones. And I was like, that exists. He thought he invented that. Okay. Coming back to the phones.
That would have been huge if he had.
But there are so many times when my dad, like my dad thinks he's invented something. And so it's like, I think my dad was like, my son is an entrepreneur, just like me.
Well, okay, so a follow-up question to that. When you presented the scheme to him, up until this point, what was your relationship like with your dad?
Close.
Okay.
I also think part of it is I think the scheme like sort of was a snowball thing. Like I think it was like my phone broke, I got the new phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, I was like on eBay. I like loved eBay. Also like I just loved like, I loved eBay. I would help my dad like sell his stuff on eBay. So like I knew eBay. I was big on eBay. I would sell stuff. I would sell like my sister's like Coach wallet and she'd be upset that it only sold for like $20. And I'd be like, it's a Coach wallet, honey. So that's also part of it. Like I already had like a little eBay scheme going. And then I think I like bought this broken, I think it like sort of snowballed into it where like I bought a broken phone that I was like intrigued by. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I got this like whatever phone it was, some BlackBerry or whatever it was, for like $20 when this should be like $300. But it was completely broken. And then I think one thing led to another where I was like, oh, I can.
You're drunk with power.
Now, you said you made about $1,000, right?
Yeah.
Do you kind of have like a memory of like where that money ended up going? Did you put it in savings? You bought an iPad.
Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of was your relationship to this iPad?
I was obsessed. Oh my God, I was obsessed. It's so funny. I was addicted. I like loved tech as a kid. And now it's like sort of a secret that I like still care, but I like loved tech as a kid. Like I used to think I wanted to like work at Apple.
You loved this iPad. So this money ended up getting you an iPad that you loved. And would you say this iPad, even though you loved it, was it a relationship that was beneficial for your life? Or maybe did it take you away from social gatherings because you're obsessed staying in the home with your iPad?
No, I don't think it took me away from my life, but I did end up then, like a year later, selling that iPad on eBay.
Okay, so then what happened with that money? Kind of walk us through the cycle of this $1,000. I'm trying to track I'm saying follow the money, and I'm trying to follow this money.
I think it was sort of thing like what the iPad. I think that the iPad came out when I was in eighth grade. I think it must have been or eighth grade or freshman year of high school, and so I think that it was like. I had the iPad, and then I realized at some point that I was like, wait, I want money to, like, hang out with my friends. And so I think it became that, like, I had the iPad for a few years, and then I sold it for less money, and then I probably used that money to, like, go to the movies with my friends, or go to get dinner with my, you know? Like, I think it was like, oh, and when you're, like, in middle school, like, you don't think about money. You're not thinking about, like, gas money for your car. You're not thinking about, like, money to go out to dinner. And I, like, had a job when I was in high school, but at that point, I didn't have, like, I used to work at Sunglass Hut. And it's so funny because when I worked at Sunglass Hut, I was like so good at catching thieves. And I remember thinking like the irony here is so rich that I am like, I remember.
What were they doing? Just putting it on the glasses and walking away?
But also people would come and be like, my glasses are broken. Can you give me new ones? And I'd be like, you think you have met, you have met your match. You're not getting free glasses from me. But like, I was like, oh, please. You're a 30-year-old woman trying to get free glasses with me. If you were 11, we could talk. But like... It was like, but I think that, yeah, I think at that point I like ended up like the money ended up like dissipating into being a teenager. Like I think this like preteen wonder of an iPad sort of fell a little.
Now, what prevented you instead, because you obviously had some sort of affection for this iPad. What prevented you from getting back into your old ways of scamming for money?
Oh my God. When I did try and sell it, someone tried, part of it was this, oh my God, this, I like am forgetting all the facts of the story. But that's okay. I did try and sell it. someone messaged me, which you're not supposed to do, like someone messaged me on the side and was like, hey, I'll PayPal you right now, like $1,000. I think the iPad was worth like $400. Someone was like, I'll message you like I'll PayPal you $1,000 right now if you send this to my son in Nigeria, blah, 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 here's the address. And I called my dad and I was like, this nun in Nigeria wants me to send my iPad to her for $1,000. My dad was like, oh my God, you're getting scammed. I was like, no, this is real. She messaged me. She sent me the address. And I was like, oh, so the scammer got scammed. And I didn't obviously agree to that because I was like, well, doing it. But I think that also like made the whole thing lose its luster too. But I think I sold the iPad because I was using it not enough because it's an iPad.
But here's kind of my question. So at the beginning of the story, you said kind of on the bad side is kind of where you maybe the first domino that took down BlackBerry. Right.
A concern I have. And I the movie came out, BlackBerry, and I was like, I don't want to see this. I'm nervous to see if there's a
wait a minute. There was a movie called BlackBerry?
Yeah, it came out last year. Apparently it's good.
Okay.
Oh no, we haven't even heard of that. Like that's bad. We didn't even hear about the movie.
It was a Canadian movie, so don't worry about it.
Okay. And I haven't been, I guess, visiting frequenting my local mall, but I kind of feel like Sunglass Hut is still up and running, would you say?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Because it's kind of interesting as the company you worked for that really stopped, you were not giving away any discounts. No charm was working on you. And that company is still in business. And yet the one you were kind of scamming as a kid is out of business.
I will say, so though, I do Verizon, wonder, at the end of the day, was the culprit BlackBerry or Verizon?
Good question. Verizon's doing amazing, I think.
I haven't looked into the numbers, but they seem to be doing well.
Yeah, I think they're doing well.
Yeah.
I'll get you back should to look into the numbers bit before you ever come on a podcast. No,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
Verizon
I come
doing,
on. I have like charts. I have like stats of like Verizon subscribers.
The day you walked into the store versus the day after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little conflicted right now. On the positive, you were at a young age, not even knowing it, providing teachable lessons for a big corporation like BlackBerry. You know?
That's true.
But then again, you could have been the factor in their downfall.
I think my fear more than anything is that like, Did anyone ever like get in trouble for like giving away a free phone and then get fired or get reprimanded? But to my knowledge, no. But to me, that is my fear. It's like, was there ever like a macro one person got in trouble for letting me off easy? Like in the way that like at Sunglass Hut, like I once got in trouble for like this one woman really charmed me and I gave her like our rare 50% off code. And she was like, and my manager was like, why did you do that? I was like, this woman was amazing. And she really charmed me. Yeah, I'm going to give you this rare 50% off code that we're not supposed to give anyone. I got in trouble for that. And I was like, is this, you know, is that the sort of thing?
The more I hear the story, I feel like you're kind of a modern day Robin Hood, you know?
Yes.
The more I hear it, because.
Totally. I couldn't agree more.
And you know what? You know what? I think I'm going to lean good behavior because you were taking from BlackBerry, who was a big giant at the time. And then there was this tiny little startup called Apple.
Right.
And you were like, I want to help an emerging business grow. This is what I'm hearing. So you were helping someone that had like a dominance over the market. And you're like, no, I want to help this up and comer.
A queer owned business. Tim Cook is gay.
There you go. Boom.
Is he really? Is he really? Mm. Oh, that's amazing.
Steve Jobs was still alive at the time. But still, you know, like.
Yeah.
There was gay swimming in the stew. You know what right. I'm saying?
He was the COO, yeah.
It was a bonding moment for you and your father, which is always mm-hmm. nice, you know? So I'm going to say good behavior.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
What say you, m'lady?
Ultimately, it's this. We are in an industry that, as we always talk about on this podcast, is hustle culture. If you aren't trying to get ahead, someone is getting ahead of you. I don't know. And I think as a kid, kind of learning that hustle culture, maybe learning how to charm, which is, I would say, a key ingredient of making it in this world, because you do have to be a little charming. You do have to persevere and also learn how to make a little buck on the side, you know? And so all these skills, I feel like, are amazing to kind of develop as a kid and then be able to use them.
It's setting your future up.
And we don't really care about big corporate companies. And I always say that's not going to affect the bottom line. And ultimately, we don't know. No employees reached out to you and said, hey, you actually kind of ruined my life. And so I guess I will also go good behavior. Zach, you have officially been deemed
good behavior. Epic.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit in this moment. How does it feel? Because I'm sure that's been a weight on your shoulders for a while.
I think it feels good because I'm like, I would love to like make a little extra money right now. I'm like, so maybe I just re-up the scheme, find a new way to do it.
You already have a plan in place. You know it works.
Yeah.
So Zach, it can be obviously overwhelming and a little scary to accept an award like the one you're doing today because you've exhibited such good behavior. So we've written something for you to kind of help you out. And so I'm going to throw your acceptance speech into our chat.
Wow. Thank you guys so much. It's amazing to for my good behavior to finally be recognized. I've always thought of myself as a good person, flawless even. I even host a show called Zach's Perfect Show. It's true. So it seems fitting that I'd be deemed good. And so I humbly accept your reward, and I want to use the rest of my time I have today to shout out a cause I really care about and that is not getting enough media attention, and that is Taylor Swift and if she's playing the 2025 Super Bowl. Thank you. I do want to shout more attention to that.
Well, Zach, this has been such a treat to have you on today. Before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow you, if there's any upcoming shows you'd like to plug or anything like that?
You can follow me on X at Schleif, if it still exists. Anytime, S-C-H-L-I-F-E. I hate that username, so I hope the website goes down. you can follow me on Instagram at Zach Schiffman. I think I am Schleif on TikTok, which I don't really know why. It's a username that I made when I was like in eighth grade. It was supposed to be like Schiffman Life. No clue why. Yep. I did that. Nothing we can do about it now, of course. I have a show. Speaking of Taylor Swift, I have two shows at New York Comedy Festival. I'm doing a Taylor Swift show for New York Comedy Festival at Littlefield on November 10th at 10 p.m. And it's going to turn into a Taylor Swift dance party, I think. I don't want to be in charge of the dance party part, but it will be like a Taylor Swift show. And then on Sunday, November 12th, I have a show where I'm interviewing my roommate and we like play these like self-help characters, and we're going to be interviewing some real people, some real titans of industry. The one guest I can share here is that we are going to be interviewing Susan Alexandra, the fashion designer, in these like weird characters. And so that I think will be really fun.
That'll be fun.
Well, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun. I feel amazing.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?